Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, where we're expanding the natural family planning conversation. I'm your host, Ellen Holloway.
Before we get started with this week's episode, I do want to mention that this is a part of our larger NFP Through the Different Seasons of Life series. We are towards the end of our series, so definitely check out the episodes prior to this, especially if you are in or soon to be in one of those seasons upcoming. I also want to mention that this episode was recorded a number of months ago. And so if you are a longtime listener and have been listening, especially at least for the last 6 months or so, it might be kind of confusing because I'm talking about being early in the stages of postpartum. And as you might know, I am definitely in the later stages of my most recent postpartum experience. And with that, let's get started with this week's episode. We are welcoming Christy Denoy to the podcast today. We're talking about charting and using NFP in the season of postpartum. So this is part of this large series that we're doing of the different seasons of NFP use. And today we're talking postpartum, which I am going to argue is like probably the most difficult. I don't know. I personally haven't gone through perimenopause. It might be more difficult for perimenopause, but I'm going to say postpartum is the most difficult.
I would echo exactly what you said. Similarly, I have not gone through perimenopause, but yeah, postpartum is rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little rough when you're first starting out too, but postpartum is its own ball game.
It's a totally different ball game. Exactly. So before we get started, Christy, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I am Christy Denoy. I am a wife to my Catholic match, Mike. We met on CatholicMatch.com
and
we
have awesome.
Yes. Love it. We have three kiddos. One is 12, one is almost four, and one is almost one. So, we live in Texas. My husband and I are both teachers, and, I'm also a functional nutritionist who specializes in postpartum nutrition and mindset.
Oh,
and I'm
fantastic.
A huge NFP fangirl. So
yes. All right, cool. So let's just define postpartum really fast. And so different methods define the postpartum period differently. But basically what we're going to be talking about today on the podcast is any time from having your baby to your cycle regulating itself. So that could be anywhere from a month. Maybe if you didn't breastfeed, your cycles come back immediately and like you don't have a postpartum period. Or this could be a couple of years. and then I'm going to kind of break that a little bit further too. There's the returning to fertility stage, and then there is the cycles regulating stage. So we sort of have these two separate stages that we'll also kind of talk about a little bit. But so back to the different methods, they define different periods of time within the postpartum whole season differently. Some of them will have a protocol for the first 12 weeks. Some of them will have a protocol until fertility returns. Some of them will have a protocol for the first six and then something for the next 10. And so this is a period of time when you need to be talking to your instructor, like really, really closely. This is so, so important to just like have them on speed dial, text them a bunch. And if your practitioner or an instructor isn't getting back to you as well as you need them to during this period of time, then you might need to find another instructor because it is so important to work with an instructor that you trust and that is able to support you in the way that you need during this period of time. So don't be afraid to find a new instructor if you need to. All right. So
100%.
all of those caveats in place. Now let's get to our conversation. So Christy, can you first just kind of talk about a little bit of your experience charting during this season? You've been through two and you're in one. So you've got three different experiences. So tell us a little bit about your experience.
I am a revert. So I was not practicing NFP after my first, but after my second, we were not breastfeeding exclusively. So I really expected fertility to return pretty soon, especially after I weaned and started going to exclusively pumping, which was around like the 6 month mark. Mm-hmm. And it did not return until 13 months postpartum.
Wow.
So yeah, I was super shocked. And then it took a while, a few months to regulate. It took about 4 months to regulate. So for me in that time, I definitely was checking in and following my protocol for my method, because they're all different, like you mentioned, checking in with my instructor, checking with my friends who also do the same method, like comparing notes. I'm fortunate to have my two closest friends are in very similar stages where we've had babies very closely together. So we are able to compare notes, which has been super helpful.
That is so helpful. Yeah. If you're going through this period of time and you know another woman who has also like recently gone through a postpartum time, it is so helpful to have that friendship and just being able to be like, oh my gosh, this is really hard. Or being able to just like kind of ask questions like, is this what you experience? Is this typical? Like, you know, I mean, obviously like detailed questions you want to talk to your instructor about, but it's just really nice to have that friendship and be able to like have that conversation on a more friendly level too.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's something like cervical mucus, a lot of methods have you monitor that. So if you're looking at cervical mucus and you're like, hey, it's been looking fertile for like 6 weeks, did you go through that too? You know?
Oh my gosh.
You probably want to talk to your instructor before the 6 week mark of straight fertile looking mucus.
Yeah. That's
you know,
you might want a new protocol.
Right. For sure. That's why I don't use mucus methods postpartum. Because for me, it would drive me. I'm so much of a control freak that would just drive me insane.
Yeah,
I know it works really well for other people.
Well, and I think it's something that's so dependent on how your body's reacting, and it can be different for each experience that you have. So I have two children. With my first, I had just like, I mean, probably, yeah, 6 weeks of straight fertile looking mucus. And I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Right?
Whereas with this experience that I'm in right now, I am still using a mucus method. Well, I'm using the symptothermal method, but that is mucus only protocol for postpartum. And it's a totally different ballgame. Like I'm seeing patches and I can actually chart differences. And that might be partially because my brain is like slightly more clear on what I'm supposed to be doing, because I'm doing it a second time.
That's almost like a foreign language when you're doing it the first time.
It is. Well, and I think it's like learning a foreign language when you have 4 hours of sleep.
Right, exactly.
If you're lucky.
And even if it's like, a language that's similar to one you've learned before. So maybe it's like a Latin based language, right? And you already are fluent in French, but now you're learning Spanish on sleep deprivation. So even though there are similarities, it's like totally different.
Yeah.
You know, like a different dialect of the same, like, it's just, you know it, but you don't know it.
Well, and it's also, you haven't been charting for 9 months now.
Right. Yeah. So
like it's getting back into the swing of charting and learning just kind of your body's just going to be different than it was. And so, yeah, it's, oh my gosh, learning a new language.
Yeah. And biochemically, it literally is different than it was. We go through biochemical changes in our pregnancies that stay with us.
Yeah.
So after each pregnancy, we're different. So that's another good reason why, just because you've used a method postpartum before, if it's not working for you this time, you should allow yourself the freedom to switch with an instructor.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Please don't just like buy femtech and say, oh, I'm switching methods. That's not a method.
I'm just going to Google it. It'll be fine. I promise you it will not be fine. You will be so much more stressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's like two outcomes that come out of not really knowing how to chart postpartum. One outcome is a surprise baby, which, you know, that's
could be fun.
That happens. The other outcome is no sex. So,
right. Which could not be fun.
That's also not fun. Like, I mean, the baby's fun, but also like that's surprising, right? And maybe not fun. And it could be, I mean, in some cases, having an unplanned pregnancy, immediately after having a baby can be really detrimental to your health, oh, or sure. it can just be a very difficult pregnancy, or it leads to a C-section or other complications and things like that. So, you know, there's a reason why doctors say you should give your body some time to rest between pregnancies. Yeah. But I got off into a little bit of tangent. I don't know where I was going with that.
Don't Google, use an instructor.
Yeah, don't Google, use an instructor. There we go.
But also don't be afraid to switch if you need to switch, because your body is different than the body that you started with.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, and I just want to reiterate that point, because you said, you know, even if a method worked well for you postpartum for one baby, that's not necessarily going to be the case. So can you talk a little bit more about just like the fact that our bodies go through changes that are stuck with us?
Okay. So it's really cool. There have been studies on the protective, like, I only have daughters, which I love my girls, but there have been studies on the protective benefits of women carrying sons. Pieces of our children end up in our brains, like their cells end up in our brains as well, regardless of gender of your baby. But if you have carried a son, it's protective in the brain.
What?
And it protects against Alzheimer's. I'll see if I can find the study and I'll send it to you. It's crazy.
Right? Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. These, like, literally your body is carrying little tiny pieces of your children all the time. So they are extensions of your body to a certain extent, you know? And because we go through all of these hormonal changes, some of them, you know, bodies don't necessarily bounce back. Anytime you're exposed to a hormonal change like that for such an extended period of time, you open yourself up to changes. And so biochemically, you're not the same person that you were. You don't come back. Even if you feel normal, your normal is going to be different. So a lot of times we find like food allergies we didn't have before pregnancy, autoimmunity can develop. And that's why it's literally a different body on the inside, biochemically speaking.
Oh my gosh. You're blowing my mind right now. I did not know any of these things.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's crazy, right?
Okay. Just personal story here. So I was allergic to grapes before I had my daughter, and now I am not allergic to grapes anymore.
That's crazy. And so our immune system gets suppressed also when we're pregnant, so that we don't reject our children, right? Yay for that.
Don't want to do that.
Right. And it starts to ramp back up around the 3 to 4 month postpartum period. That's also when your thyroid and your metabolism start to ramp back up. That's why we lose our hair postpartum. Because our thyroid's like, okay, wait a second, what's happening?
What's going on?
I'm not really sure. I have been working overtime for 9 months plus the fourth trimester, and I'm really like confused. I just need to take a second. And so all of those changes lead to different circumstances in our bodies.
Oh my gosh, this is so crazy.
I know, it's the craziest.
Wow.
I used to work with prenatal and postpartum clients, and it's just fascinating. There's just so much to get into with pregnant.
Yeah. Wow.
Crazy.
Well, we could talk about these kind of things, but we should probably focus the episode back on NFP.
Yes. So we were talking about my return, like my experiences.
Talk a little bit more about your experience.
So once I had my return to fertility, my husband and I were like, do we want a third? Maybe we want a third. Do we want a third right now? Let's see. And then the pandemic happened. And because of the stress that the collective world went through, and because I was charting, I was able to see I was supposed to ovulate and I didn't. And I was like, wait a second, my body was gearing up. It didn't do it. So I was able to see when I did ovulate after it attempted and failed and then actually ovulated. And he was like, so that third child. And I was like, I'm just going to tell you, if we have this conversation and we go forward, there will be a third child. So... And he was like, well, it wouldn't be the worst thing. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And you know what? She is almost one.
Guess what? She's with us.
She's so adorable. Totally worth it.
I love when the conversation happens like that. It's like, well, should we? Well, I mean, if we do right now, we might. And then it's like, oh, there.
He was still surprised to see the positive test. I was like, babe, I'm pretty much guaranteed. Like, I mean, it's not guaranteed, but I was like, I told you.
Yeah. That's kind of one of those beauties of NFP, is that when you're charting, you really just can know, like, yeah, this is going to be a pretty, a pretty good time to try. Like I know that I have, you know, I'm seeing fertile mucus, or the monitor is saying that I'm, you know, highly fertile right now. Like this is the time, which is a beauty.
So this time, I have had one cycle this postpartum period. So it did come back a little bit earlier this time. But between my first return cycle and the second one, I'm still waiting. I'm like cycle day 41, still waiting. So we'll see.
It happens someday.
Right.
Yeah. With my first, I think my first cycle was like 70 days or something. Oh, and I was like, all right, I'm just hanging out here. Like, yep.
Which, you know, if we were not charting, I would be like, am I pregnant? Like,
and I know, right?
I knew nothing about NFP because I was completely confused on my body. I was definitely not body literacy or body literate when I first came to NFP. You know, because they tell you you can get pregnant all the time, and we know that that's not the case.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know?
But I would have definitely been freaking out pre-NFP. Like, oh my gosh, why? But I am not freaking out. I'm just patiently waiting.
Yes, just waiting. Well, and yeah, I guess we should probably kind of go through like what postpartum is typically going to look like. You're going to have a typical period of time that you're not going to cycle for. Mm-hmm. And that could be short or it could be really long. A lot of times it depends on how you are breastfeeding. Right. Sometimes it doesn't depend on how you're breastfeeding. Sometimes that's just how your body works. It's totally different for every woman. And it can be totally different for every pregnancy. So let's say that you were exclusively breastfeeding, and your cycle returned at 9 months. You can't bank on that happening for your next kid.
Right.
You can't just be like, oh, well, it returned 9 months. So like, I'm good for the first 9 months. I don't need to chart. No, you still need to work with the instructor. You still need to chart.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so that's really important. And I mentioned this before, but fertility will return, like, I mean, anywhere from just a couple of weeks after, you have your baby. Like if you're not breastfeeding, it's going to return pretty quickly. If it could return sometime during the period of time that you're breastfeeding, it could not return until after you've weaned. And all of those cases are normal. And again, if you're feeling like it's not normal, if you're feeling like something is off or your fertility should have returned, then talk to your instructor, because they are trained in, you know, working through that postpartum time and understanding the different cases that come up during that time. So what are some of the most difficult aspects of charting during this season?
If you are using a symptom-based method, it's not necessarily predictable. If you're exclusively using body temperature and whether you're breastfeeding or not, if you are postpartum, you've got a baby who's waking up, which means you're also waking up. And so the lack of sleep can be problematic there and an obstacle there. Sometimes, like I know a lot of people who like to use monitor-based methods. I use a monitor-based method because, again, I like to be in control, and I feel like it's the most scientific, you know, so to speak. It's the one that allowed me to give up my control freak nature a little bit to get into NFP. But even then, you know, postpartum, you've got hospital bills and buying the supplies to chart using monitor methods. It's not necessarily the most cost effective.
Right. You've got diapers to pay for.
Right. And if you're formula feeding, daycare is not cheap if you have that going on, if you're a working parent. So there are a lot of considerations depending on your method that you have to take into consideration. I don't know how to say that better without repeating consideration.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. A lot
of factors to consider. So for also there is abstinence.
Right.
Until you kind of figure out what's going on. And initially that's probably okay. And you're warranted. You're like, yep, that's fine. I don't want you to touch me for a little bit. I'm touched out because
it's
I'm healing, you know. But at some point, as you start to return to feeling more like yourself, as you start to get more sleep, abstinence can become extremely frustrating. And depending on the method that you're using, there can be longer periods of abstinence as well. So, mm-hmm. I think that is also, at least for me, that becomes a problem postpartum. That has been one of my frustrations both times. There are different levels of intimacy. So, you know, you don't have to be physically intimate with your husband. But also we were made to enjoy that act and be together as husband and wife. So it can be a very frustrating time. Even if you agree with church teaching, even if you think NFP is beautiful, that doesn't mean it's easy and it doesn't mean it's not frustrating.
Exactly. Well, and I think something that's really important with the postpartum period of time is understanding that, like, so we mentioned, like, if a method isn't working for you, it's good, like, change methods. That's a good thing to do. Yeah. But there will always, in the postpartum period of time, there's going to be extended abstinence regardless of the method that you choose, because your body just suppressed like ovulation for 9 months,
yep.
went through a ton of stress to birth a baby, and is still going through a lot of stress to feed that. Let's say you're breastfeeding to feed that baby. Your body is going through a lot of stress in order to do that. And so that return to fertility, your body's working really hard to return to fertility, because that is like its normal state. It wants to go back to normal state of cycling regularly. But your body's also fighting with itself, saying, no, I'm really, really stressed right now. I'm going through all of this. Like, I'm working really hard to feed this baby, and I'm not getting enough sleep, and I have all these other stresses. So your body's saying, no, don't ovulate yet. And so basically what your body is doing is it's going to go, I want to try to ovulate. And then your body's going to say, no. And so it keeps trying. It tries and it tries and it tries and tries until it finally regulates. Eventually, at some point it regulates, unless you have another baby, and then you have to wait a little longer.
You just prolong the inevitable at that point.
At some point it will, hopefully. So in that, like, you know, kind of quote cycle, let's call it a cycle of like trying to ovulate and then being told not to, your body's going to show the signs of fertility. So your hormones are going to start rising, and that's what the monitor is reading, and mm-hmm. your mucus is going, you're going to have mucus present. And so those are the things that you're going to be looking at in a postpartum, method, you know, either both and, or, and so, you know, those things are going to show up, and then they're going to go away, and they're going to show up, and they're going to go away. And so it can be really, really frustrating. And let's say you're using a mucus only method. You know, you have to wait a certain number of days after you've seen mucus. And it's like, saw mucus, couple of dry days, see mucus again before you get to the number of days that you need to wait in order to be intimate with your spouse. So coming in, it's really important coming into the postpartum period, knowing there will be some times we're going to have to abstain for an extended period of time. And being really honest with each other, you and your spouse, of saying, look, this is really hard for me. This is really hard for you. It's okay that it's hard. We're going to work through the fact that it's hard, and communicate to each other. What are the things that you need? And making sure that, like, that communication is happening on both sides. I think it's really easy for us, as the mom, to be like, look, this is what I need right now, because I have a lot of stuff coming at me. And so it's like, at least for me, it's really easy for me to say, look, not going to happen right now, because I am totally touched out. I am exhausted today. Like, there's just no way it's going to happen. But make sure that communication is happening on the other side too.
Yes, for sure. I wanted to point out one more thing that sometimes is problematic is these hormone swings that we're going through postpartum can change our moods as well. Mm. So if we're talking about postpartum mood disorders, that's a whole different hallway of thought that affects what's going on postpartum and how you want to react in your relationships and things like that. So I always want to emphasize communication. And honestly, I would start this communication about mental health while you're still pregnant, mm-hmm. so that your husband knows what to look for, knows the warning signs. You guys have a plan for if something happens, who are you going to go to for support? Because if you feel completely unsupported, you feel ragey, you feel, you've got these intrusive thoughts coming at you, you're not connecting with your baby. If you go all the way into postpartum psychosis and you've got these harmful thoughts about your baby, about yourself, then sex is not on your radar at all.
Yeah.
You know, at all. And you also may not mentally have the capacity to chart. So you really, I think it's extremely important that we mention that and that we include that in this conversation as well.
Yes. And I'm actually going to share a little personal experience with my first. I did kind of go through some postpartum anxiety, and I experienced two main things that I want to mention that are, I think, very common. And you know, if you're listening to this right now and you are in the postpartum period of time and you're experiencing some of these things, I want you to talk to your spouse about them. So one of them was I was unable to chart. Like, I physically could not process the act of charting. It was too overwhelming, and that is okay. And that's something that you need to talk to your spouse about. And I had to talk to her. I was like, I just can't do it right now. I need to just not have to chart for a couple of weeks. And that was okay. And we had to abstain for that amount of time because I wasn't charting. But I needed to be able to just rest and not have that be something that was on my mind at that time. Because there was just too many other things going on. The other thing, that I want to mention is that, when I was going through this postpartum anxiety and feeling lots and lots of emotions that were pretty negative, I felt like I was going to get in trouble for telling someone about it. I felt like I was going to get looked down on if I talked to my doctor about it, or if I talked to my pediatrician about it, or even if I mentioned it to my spouse. And I just want all of you listening to know that no one is going to look down on you for feeling those things that you're feeling. It is very normal to go through a period of baby blues or postpartum anxiety, or it to even escalate farther. And it's really important for you to have support, and reach out to the people around you, to get that support, because you need it as a woman and a mother and someone who has great dignity in this world.
1,000%.
Just wanted to
standing yeah. ovation.
Just gonna throw that out there because it's really, really important.
Yeah.
So what kind of tips or suggestions, Christy, do you have for someone who is charting or navigating this season of NFP?
Okay. Several. Definitely number one would be know your method.
Yes.
Know your postpartum protocol for your method. Work with your instructor, even if you're switching methods, definitely make sure you're working with an instructor. It's basically a summation of what we've said. Make sure communication is open. I love that you had that communication with your husband about not being able to chart. I know for some methods, in some marriages, since a lot of people feel like the burden of charting falls on the woman because it's her body that she's charting. I know some people, the husbands like take down the information and they're the ones filling out the chart. If that helps take something off your plate so that you're still feeling this intimate bond together, do it, go for it.
Yeah.
Find what works for you and do it, but also be honest with yourself. If you're not ready to chart yet, don't, but be honest with your husband too, because yeah. you're, like you said, you do have to abstain. And if
yeah, don't just not chart and like no. not tell your spouse about it. That's
just kidding, honey. That's a terrible idea. I would definitely endorse that. But if you know, once your fertility comes back, even if the monitor and the symptoms, the mucus and the chart is saying that you're ready, be honest with yourself. If you're not ready, don't force it. And be honest with your husband. This has to be an ongoing conversation. This can't just be like a one and done conversation. This is a journey. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have to like take pit stops to refill the car on journeys. You have to keep the conversation open because it changes. There are hills and valleys that you go through in this journey. So you need to make sure that you and your husband are on the same page as well.
Yes. Yeah. That's killer. Something else that I experienced, like I mentioned, like my brain was like incapable of charting. And as I was kind of trying to chart again, one of the things that I realized is why it felt so impossible to chart is that I legitimately could not remember what I saw earlier that day. So the whole aspect, you know, I think most methods suggest, okay, at the end of your day, look back on your day, what did you see, and write that down. That didn't work for me postpartum because I didn't know what day it was.
Right. Right.
Did I see that mucus yesterday? Or did I see it 5 minutes ago?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And so if you're someone who charts on an app, take your phone with you to the bathroom. Again, if you're doing a mucus only method, you know, take your phone with you to the bathroom and chart every time that you go to the bathroom so that you can remember. Or I left just like a notepad on the top of each of the toilets in our apartment. We had two, but I left a notepad on both of them. And then at the end of the day, I went back to both notepads and then wrote down or you know, put it in my app or put it on my chart, what I saw. And that was super helpful too. And so it wasn't like I had to always remember to take something with me to the bathroom. And I could just like, as I'm sitting in there, write it down really quick and do it at the end of the day. So find some, you know, helpful little reminders for yourself. If you're using a monitor and you just can't remember each day to take the reading, set up a reminder in your phone, set up an alarm, at the time that you want to take it. You know, just use technology to your advantage.
Yes, for sure. If writing is too much for you, you could take your phone and do a voice memo.
Yes. That's a great idea. Yeah, that probably would have totally helped me.
Just say, it's the day that I'm wearing this for the third time, if you can't remember the date. Then you can ask your husband, all right, when did I wear this on the third? When did I decide it needed to come off of me and go into the laundry?
Right.
Because that's when this happened.
Well, no, I love that because you could just voice memo and then hand your husband the phone and say, can you put this in the chart? And so he can listen to the voice memos and put it in the chart for you. Hey,
you
that'd be
voice memo or text it, like talk to text to your husband so that he's responsible for keeping up with the date. I mean, that's one thing you can just take out of your brain.
Yeah. Well, I love like the voice memo thing. Cause your phone is going to record the day and time that you wrote. I'm like loving this voice memo idea. I'm like really all about it. I'm thinking though, like, I don't really need to use it because I wanted to mention this on the recording. Christy and I were talking before we pressed record. But one of the things that I've noticed, so I'm in my second go through of postpartum, and I'm right in the thick of it. I haven't had a return to fertility yet. I'm about 3.5 months postpartum right now. But what I have noticed is that it is easier than last time, but it is not easy. This is not an easy period of time to chart through. But the second time around feels much easier. And I think it's because I have a better handle on kind of what is going on. I kind of know what to expect. I'm not like freaked out if I see like a week of fertile type mucus that just like doesn't go away. It's like, oh, that's typical for me, you know, that's right. Typical for what I'm seeing. But yeah, so it's easier than last time, but it's not easy. It's still very, very hard.
I would agree with that too. It's less confusing.
Yes.
But still difficult.
That's a really good way to say it. Less confusing. One of the things I wanted to also, touch on before we kind of wrap up this episode is, what if you are, and I'm sorry, I didn't give you this question beforehand, Christy.
That's okay.
Just going to put you on the spot.
I teach theater, so improv is my thing.
What if you are a person who found out about NFP while you were pregnant and you're learning NFP for the first time in the postpartum period of time? What kind of tips, and I think we're probably just going to repeat ourselves here, but we're going to emphasize some things. But what kind of tips and suggestions do you have for someone in that particular case who's learning NFP for the first time in the postpartum period of time?
I would say that everybody's first postpartum NFP experience, even if they've been NFPing for years before that, is someone in that position, right? Because we're all learning the postpartum protocol for the first time. So don't feel like you're alone, first of all, if you're that person, because you are toe-to-toe with so many women. Well, side-by-side. Toe-to-toe sounds negative, right? We are side-by-side. with thousands upon thousands of women going through the same frustration of learning it. So just give yourself some grace. Be honest with yourself. Again, those communication lines are important. Working with your instructor is probably the most important thing that I would say for that. But definitely give yourself some grace, because it's a learning curve, and you're not expected to get it 100% all the time the first time out of the gate, right? If you have questions, ask them. I know a lot of times people are like, well, I mean, I just feel like I should know this. It's probably a dumb question. As a teacher, as a mom, I don't believe in dumb questions. I don't think that they exist. Like, if you have a question, you should ask it, because we're all seeking knowledge. We're trying to survive this period. We're trying to thrive in it, not just survive. So ask the question, even if it's been asked before and you just don't remember the answer, ask it again. It's okay. That's literally why you're working with an instructor. That's why they ask you to pay them for their services. So use their services that they are asking you to pay them for. You know, it's, they're there to support you.
Yeah. And they want to answer those questions. They want you, you know, as an instructor myself, I want my clients to feel as confident as possible. And so don't feel bad if you are asking the same question, like for the fourth time, because you just can't remember because you have a newborn. That's totally fine.
Right. We all should have this mama village, and we're not like, you know, Jennifer Fulweiler does these videos all the time. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're all about, well, moms were meant to be doing this, this, and this with this village, but since they don't, and then she like speed rambles off why, you know, modern parenting is the way that it is for moms and why these expectations are unrealistic. But it's true. We were meant to do this together in community. Sometimes our community is long distance. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a DM. Sometimes it's an email. Sometimes it's a Zoom call. But find whoever your village is. Your instructor is part of your village. Other moms are part of your village. Your doctor or midwife, they're part of your village too. I want to also point out that it's okay to contact your midwife or your doctor after you've had the baby. It's not like they're just like, okay, peace out. See you when you have another baby.
Right?
They're still invested in your health. So especially if you are experiencing, I know you mentioned that you were afraid to talk to somebody about your postpartum anxiety, but reaching out, starting with your OB or your midwife first, is where you should go. So similarly, reaching out to your instructor who is a part of your village also, like that should be your first line of defense.
Yes, absolutely. Well, so one more thing that I wanted to mention is if you are, you're looking at, you know, you're heading into the postpartum period of time, maybe you're pregnant now. This is the time that you should reach out to your instructor to learn the postpartum protocol. Don't wait until you have the baby. If you can't, I mean, if you can't, like, if that's when you find out about NFP, or like, that's when you realize, you know, you're listening to this episode, like, and you just had the baby 2 days ago, like, well, reach out now. But if you can reach out while you're pregnant and learn the protocol, and start doing a little bit of practice charting, get back into that rhythm of charting before you have the baby and everything gets thrown out the window. So just so that you are like more comfortable when it comes time, when you actually do need to rely on that charting. And kind of on that same thing, quite a few of the methods will have kind of a different protocol for like the first couple of weeks, or maybe the first 12 weeks, maybe the first 4 or 5 months, if you are intensively breastfeeding or exclusively breastfeeding, and they'll have very specific requirements for that. And so you don't have to rely on charting as much during that period of time. Again, this is all dependent on the method. Please talk to your instructor. Don't just like take that and be like, oh, I don't have to chart for the first 3 months. No. But start charting at that point before you need to rely on the charting, so that you can get used to it, so that you can be back in that rhythm, you can be prepared. And you can kind of, before you have to really rely on that charting, you can know what it is that you are looking for. You can figure out, a lot of times women will have, in the method that I teach, it's called a basic infertile pattern other than dry. And so that means that maybe you're always seeing mucus, but when it's fertile mucus, it changes. And so you're going to have a very specific, a different kind of protocol. And so if before you need to rely on the charting, if you're able to establish that, then you can start working with your instructor to figure out what your protocol is going to be, because you're not seeing dry days. That's just a very specific example, but again, I guess just start charting as soon as possible.
Yeah. Because I mean, I would agree with that too, just because if you are dealing with healing and figuring out breastfeeding and sleep deprivation and trying to learn NFP postpartum protocols for the first time, it's doable, but it would also be one thing you could take off of your plate and help your body deal with a little less stress during that very stressful time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Awesome. Christy, is there anything else that you want to mention before we close out this episode?
I don't think so. Thanks so much for having me. This has been so fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your expertise. Again, everybody, this is an episode that is part of a larger series of just kind of the different seasons of NFP that we experience just throughout our entire lives. So be sure to check out the other episodes in this series, especially if you're experiencing one of those seasons currently. And then, of course, always share the podcast with your friends and family if it's applicable to them. All right. Thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy, and definitely check out the rest of the episodes in this Seasons of NFP Use series. Next week is going to be our last episode in this series, so definitely check out the ones before this, and tune in next week for our episode on perimenopause. Until next time.